This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church. A soldier has armor that he wears all the time, even when he's not actively fighting. However, when a soldier knows that he's headed into battle, he'll pick up a shield for extra defense. We know that all of our spiritual armor is important, but as Satan unleashes an onslaught of attacks against us, God has given us a shield to defend against a myriad of attacks. Today, we'll continue a sermon entitled, The Shield of Faith, from Pastor Sam. So let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
In the Old Testament, God made really clear to his people that he was their shield. But there's another background piece that we need to know about. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, the reason we need this shield is because somebody is hurling arrows at us. In fact, we read about this, right? Through the shield that we have been given here in verse 16, we can extinguish all the flaming darts, the arrows of the evil one. And so the second thing that the readers would have been expected to know, first thing was God in the Old Testament is the shield of his people. But secondly, if you lived in the city of Ephesus, there were two pagan gods who were famous archers. They had powerful skills in archery. They had weaponry that they were very, very skilled at. And they were both well-known and powerful pagan deities that everybody in the city of Ephesus would have known about. One of them was the patron goddess Diana, or Artemis, the goddess of the hunt, and she was known to be an archer. And the other was the very famous Greek and Roman god Apollos, or Apollo. And Apollo was also a very famous archer. And if you lived in the city of Ephesus, you understood that these patron gods were responsible for everything that happened in the city, for the well-being of the city and the protection of its citizens. And furthermore, you also knew that these gods expected you to do your civic and religious duty to them. And if you didn't, you would become the special object of their wrath. They would hunt you down with their arrows. Now, as a Christian, the Ephesians knew that these were nothing more than just stones. But behind the stones, Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, behind these stones is an army of evil beings who animate all of this, and they're demons. And behind those demons, at the head of their rank, stands an ancient enemy, and his name is Satan. And the question now is, if you lived in Ephesus and you were going to deny these two gods and turn your back on them and follow a god that nobody had ever heard about, who would protect you? And Paul says there is a shield that will protect you from all of this. So, let's talk about that shield. Number one, remember I said there were three things. Number one, what exactly is this shield? And Paul talks about this in chapter 6, verse 16, in all circumstances. In other words, this shield is necessary for every part of the battle under any condition, in any circumstance. And so you are to pick up your shield. And he says, now let me tell you what your shield is. Your shield is the faith. So it is the shield of the faith. And we'll talk about that little word "the" here in just a moment. But let's talk for a moment about the description, the biblical description of the shield. In Roman times, there were two kinds of shields. There was a small sort of round shield that you might carry into battle. It was called a buckler. And you'll read about that in the Psalms, for example. It's kind of a small circular shield that you might strap onto your arm, and it was sort of how you would parry a sword thrust. and you would wear it sort of here, and so you would actually wear it on the arm that wasn't your sword arm. And so when you were in this battle and somebody was throwing a sword, you'd just move your arm up and that shield would protect you. And so that small round shield was called a buckler. But the shield Paul has in mind is actually different. I'm going to show you a picture of it, okay? That's the shield we're talking about. This was about maybe 2.5 to 3 feet wide and about 4 feet high. It would be made of sometimes metal. More often than not, it would be made of two pieces of wood that were bound together and covered with leather that was soaked in water and hardened in the sun. And there would be a piece of metal in the middle of the shield that you would use to kind of cast off lance thrusts and arrows that would come. And this was an amazing shield. It was sort of curved, and a Roman soldier could literally crouch down behind that shield. That's the shield that Paul is describing. It's the word for that shield that is used here in the text. So when Paul is telling you, you have a shield, and he uses the word for the shield that we're looking at, that's the idea that he wants you to have. So what is this amazing shield? And Paul's answer is, it is the faith. Now, in your English Bible, you'll see it described as just the shield of faith. But the way that Paul actually wrote this, he uses a construction that, to be sure, does refer to the fact that you need to have faith, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but he's also using something to help you understand that it's not just any faith that he's talking about. There is a shield, and the shield is made up of a faith that God gave. And we can see this throughout the book of Ephesians. Look at chapter 4, verse 5, and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. In chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith. There is one common set of beliefs that God has given to his people that we are to believe. There is one faith in verse 5 of chapter 4. We are to grow up in this faith. In fact, we are to grow in our understanding of this faith and in our embracing of this faith and in our obedience to the faith. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4 and you'll see that. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So there is a set of doctrines that God has given to the church, one faith. We have been called to embrace that faith. We have been called to grow in unity around that faith. And then in verse 15, we are to confess that faith together. Listen to how Paul talks about this. Rather, speaking the truth in love. That's not talking about just telling the truth in a loving way. There is a particular truth that we are to confess. The idea there of speaking is confessing. We are to confess together the faith that Paul has been talking about. So there is a common set of beliefs that God gave to the church, and he gave those beliefs to his apostles. And Jude is going to talk about this in verse 3 of his little letter when he says there is a faith once delivered. In other words, fully and finally delivered to the church that we must defend and that we must contend for. So when you ask yourself, what is this shield? The shield is a set of truths, a set of doctrines that God has given to the church that tell the truth about him. Because if he's going to be our shield, I'm going to have to believe the right things about him. If I don't believe the right things, then it doesn't matter how strong my belief is or how fervent it is expressed. If I'm not believing something that is true, then it doesn't do me any good. Let me give you an illustration of this. Let's say that I actually become convinced that the earth is flat. And I become a flat earther. You ever met a flat earther? I've never met somebody who actually believes that. I've had people that have kind of said it for shock value, but I've never actually believed somebody who genuinely, truly believes that the earth is flat. But they're out there. And you know something? The fact that they genuinely believe that doesn't change the fact that the world isn't flat. And so it isn't what we believe, or I'm sorry, it's not how firmly we believe something or how faithfully we believe it or how fervently we are about it. We actually have to believe what's true for that belief to shield us. And so God has said, if I'm going to be your shield, then there are things you need to know about me, and you need to believe those things, and you need to know true things, things that actually are real about me. You need to know who I really am. For example, you need to know that when you think about me being your shield, you need to know that I am a Trinity. That when you think of God, there is one God and there is three persons who exist in that Godhead in one common nature and in one common essence. And so there's God the Father, and there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that, and you need to know that, or else you will fall prey to a whole lot of error that comes knocking at your door when people knock on your door and say, hey, we want to talk to you about God. But the God we want to talk to you has a son who's not a God. He is a lesser God. And they're going to go to a passage in John, and they're going to say things like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And God said, if you don't believe the right thing about me that I wrote down in my Word for you, in that authoritative faith that I gave you, you're going to fall prey to that, and you're going to get sucked into a massive error that's going to lead you to damnation. I'm your shield, but you have to believe the right things about me. Or you might be thinking, you know, there's a God, and his name is Allah, and he's actually the same God as the Old Testament God. We serve the same God, just different names. They call him Allah, we call him Jehovah, so, you know, actually we serve the same God, and actually we don't. Because the God of the Old Testament is a Trinity. He always has been a Trinity. He has never not been a Trinity. And so whenever you say about the God you worship, he has a son who isn't a God. He is just a son like all of us are sons. And in fact, this one son, Jesus, is just a really good prophet. Whatever God you're talking about there, whatever his name is, he is not the God of the Bible. And so when you start thinking through all of these things and you want the true God of heaven to be your God and to be your shield, you have to believe the right things about him. And where are those things? Those things have been written down. Paul talked about the fact that 27 books were written by, or Peter rather, talked about the fact that 27 books were written by holy men of old, moved by the Holy Spirit. And then there are 39 books that preceded those, and these 27 books complete the picture, the story that God wants you to know. And as you read those books, and you believe those books, and you trust those books, those books shape your life. That's what Solomon said when he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, Solomon says, let me tell you how not to do it. Do not lean on your own understanding. You've got to go somewhere else to get understanding. Well, where am I going to go? And the answer is, I've got to go to what God has revealed. So, this shield that we're talking about has a spiritual function. When we believe what God told us to believe about Him, and we're believing the truth that is not the one we wish were true, right? We can go out and make our own little cardboard shield and kind of hold it up. We can decorate it. We can put little rhinestones on it. And we can think, man, this is going to do great for us. And we get out there and the arrow of Satan comes right through and pierces us because we weren't believing something that was true. We made up our own truth. And the reason this is important is because the function of the shield is protection. It is to protect you from everything that Satan is going to hurl. What is going to protect the church collectively? And the answer is the doctrine that God has given to the church about Himself and about salvation. Roman soldiers never fought alone. They always fought in cohorts. And when they would come together, they would link those big shields together and they would form a formation like this called a turtle. And they would hide behind this and they would march down the battlefield. And the enemy would hurl arrows at them, and they were protected by their shield. And sometimes when they were ready to attack, the back row would stand up and hurl a javelin, like you see here. And so this shield that God has given to us that you have individually, the church has corporately, that's why doctrine matters. That's why what you believe about doctrine matters. That's why when you start looking for a church and you start sort of asking God, well, tell me about the church where you're wanting our family to plug in, the first thing should not be, is it convenient for me? Is it close to my house? Does it have people I know? What about its programs? Does it have stuff for my kids? All of that's important, and those are questions that need to be answered. But at the end of the day, the first and foremost thing you want to know about the church is, what do they actually believe about the Bible? Where do they get their truth? Is it coming out of the pastor's opinion? Is it just what he says because that's the cool thing to say? Is it just what he thinks up when he's kind of getting his sermons ready? Or can I see it in the text? For those of you that are newer here, the sermon notes are online every Sunday so that you actually can download them and have them. And if you actually download them, you'll notice something. They are filled up with Scripture. Why? Because I don't ever want to stand up here and tell you my opinions. I want the Word of God to be what feeds you. It's not my words. It's not my ideas. It's not my opinions. I have opinions. I have ideas. I have thoughts. But that's not what comes here to this desk. That's not what comes from this pulpit. There's no place for that here. What's going to protect you as you leave here this morning? What's going to help your marriage? What's going to help you raise your kids? What's going to help you as a young person navigate all the frustrations and the pain and the agony that comes into your life as a teenager? Isn't what Pastor Sam thinks. It isn't what his opinion is. What is going to protect you, what is going to shield you, is what God has said. And that's why it matters. You say, well, what is this shield protect me from? Well, it protects you from arrows that Satan hurls at you. He'll hurl, for example, the arrow of temptation. All of us know what it is like for our sinful flesh to be aroused, to be tempted by some bait that Satan dangles. Man, this would feel so good if you just said that back. Or if you just did this. Or if you, ooh, look at that. And all of a sudden there's a bait. And our flesh inside us, our inner betrayer, looks at that bait, and there's an attraction to the bait. And if we don't have a shield that tells us the truth about that bait and exposes the hook and shows us time and time and time again over 2,000 years of church history, over 66 books of trophies that Satan has on his wall of believers who swallowed the bait, that arrow will just come through and pierce us. He shoots the arrow of trial at us, the fiery trial. James says, there will be manifold, many trials. In fact, He tells us to count it all joy. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and later chapter 5 says, don't be surprised. Don't be knocked off your ground by the fierceness of the trial that comes. We've been given assurances in the Word of God that God will sustain us in these trials, that God will build us through these trials, and that God will advance the gospel because of these trials. But if we don't know that and we don't believe that, the trial will knock us down. The arrow will pierce us. There is the arrow of tribulation, persecution for righteousness' sake. And by the way, if you don't think that's coming, if you think this is just in Haiti, when you stand up in a culture that is absolutely falling apart and you just open up your mouth to tell the truth about the gospel, I mean, my heart is breaking and it is burdened for 17 people in Haiti. Why isn't my heart feeling that way about the millions of aborted babies that lose their life every year in this country? And the minute you talk about, you know, it's safe to talk about the people in Haiti, right? Because they're in Haiti. But is it safe to talk about abortion in this country and say it isn't just a choice, it's actually murder? When you say that, what do you think is coming your way? When all of a sudden you're like, well, Pastor, you shouldn't talk that way. How can I not talk that way when the Scripture actually describes it that way? The minute I stop talking that way, I take my shield, or I take the shield God has given me, and I make a little paper one, and I put it up there and say, look at this shield. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious, and I'm not talking about going out there and doing things in an unjust and an ungodly way. I'm talking about just in the course of your life, in the way you live out in the marketplace, when you talk with your neighbors and all of a sudden these topics come up, what do you do? And the answer is you take your shield up and you believe what God called you believe. You say, well, man, amen, Pastor. I say, okay, let's talk about this. God forbid that would ever happen to you. Well, what would happen if one of your children came to you and said, Mom and Dad, I made a horrible mistake. I sinned. And in the mercy of God, God has allowed that sin to be exposed. And you're like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Honey, I'm so glad. Son, I'm so glad God caused you to repent. Your mom and dad love you. We forgive you. And you should. And we should do those things. And they say to you, but there's more. And you find out that because of this sin that Satan shot an arrow at your precious son or your precious daughter. And that arrow got through. And now there's a baby. And everything we're talking about here gets real in a hurry. I mean real. What about college? What about this? What about that? And you and your husband or your wife, you cry out to God. You go back in the quietness of your bedroom and your heart is shattered. But what comes out of your heart is love and forgiveness for your son or your daughter and hope and prayer and support.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll finish this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the lead teaching pastor of Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Come join our worship service at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billiou. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.